That's really cute, Hunter. That's really adorable of you. Welcome to episode 4 of One More Podcastle, or for our binary friends, episode 11. My name is Eric Bailey. I am smaller than a warehouse and the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter. I am the technical engineer, and apparently people like to copy me.
I'm Jason Lamb. I'm the resident Canadian, and I once killed a man.
Ooh.
That's okay.
That just got a little bit awkward up in here.
It's gonna be one of those podcasts.
Okay. Well, as long as Jason wants to copy Hunter, because we don't need Hunter copying Jason's murderous ways tonight.
But so, what happens if I copied Hunter's murderous ways?
I'm just gonna go ahead and say the goal for me tonight is to remain alive through the podcast. That's my goal. So. Kind of a scary little night we're having.
Not only is Jason in charge of the time counter, he's also in charge of the kill count.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
And I'm doing well.
He's a responsible guy. I trust him with my life, I guess. Well, between your murders lately, have you had any time for any old video games, Jason?
I have, but I can't talk about it because it's actually the game I've chosen this week for the showdown.
Oh, boo. Oh, come on.
You're telling me you've had a crazy week.
You haven't played anything else. Have you ever did you think about a different game?
Yeah, other than that game, I've been playing Skyrim, which really doesn't count.
No,
in
it
the
doesn't.
Whole retro category.
How do you like all those updates you got to do every couple of weeks?
For Skyrim?
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
Hmm.
I'm on PC.
Oh, good point. Never mind.
It just updates in the background.
That was one of the things that really drove me crazy because a buddy of mine bought Skyrim and I'm sitting there and I'm watching him play it. It's not even, the game wasn't even 18 days old or something, or 20 days old. And he had to do a system update because apparently there was bugs and crashes and system stuff like that. And I'm sitting back and I'm like, you know, we could play combat on Atari right now. Don't really need to update that. You know, this is, but the graphics and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, dude, if it plays, now we have to wait 20 minutes for it to download some stupid update. Like, who releases this garbage? Like, who said that was okay?
Yeah, I'd rather play 15 minutes of an Atari 2600 game than 15 minutes of waiting.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that.
10 minutes of loading screen.
It's the Sony PlayStation curse.
There you go. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Play retro video games.
Absolutely.
Amen. How about you, Hunter? What have you been playing?
Well, so I gave up on Phantasy Star. I just gave up.
Gave up?
Completely gave up. The game, to me, the game is almost unplayable.
Wow.
I just gave up. I couldn't. So, here's see, I like blew up on a buddy of mine about this recently, and he, like, I gave him an earful, and when I was done, he was like, okay, so let's, what else have you been playing? I was digging the story. Have you guys played Phantasy Star?
I have not.
Bailey?
I've never completed it. I'm familiar with the series enough that I know that there's some listeners that are going to be sending you the hate mail this week. I think every week we have someone, and this week it's you.
Well, that's okay. At least we're taking turns. Yeah. So, I like RPGs. I don't think like I'm a hardcore RPG player. I do enjoy the occasional RPG. So, I got this game. I was really excited. I played the fourth one, which apparently was the worst thing I could do, was play the fourth one first, because that one's a lot of fun. So I'm playing this game, and I'm walking around town, and it's like, you know, you go into the different shops and stuff like that, and finally they're like, okay, if you want to get to the next section, you have to buy a road pass. Is this bringing back anything, Bailey, at all? The road pass?
No, actually, but keep going.
Okay. Good, because it's going to blow your freaking mind. So I'm walking around town, and now the way that the town's set up is it's more of like a square. You've got your town surrounded by a wall. on the right-hand side. There's the road pass that goes to the left side, and that's where you want to go. But you can walk outside of, like, the walled area, obviously where the random encounters start. So I'm not worried about random encounters. But if you move one, like, 8x8 square outside of that wall, you suddenly start battling up against not level 1 monsters. You battle against level 3 and level 5, where it's one-hit deaths on you.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, I'm guessing I got to go to this other town that's on the east side that I heard about. So I'm just going to do a circle around the wall, fighting one-level creatures to start grinding to level up. So I did that for like 45 minutes until I was happy with where I was. And then I walked across and I find this town. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing here? And there's nothing here really to do. And I'm like, I'm looking for a freaking road pass so I can continue on with this game. So I'm walking around and I find this shop. It's the only shop in town. And I walk in and the guy's like, oh, hey, I've got potions. I got this. And I have secrets for 200, whatever the current, the
whatever
currency is. Yeah, it starts with an M. So I'm like, oh, I don't have 200. I've only got like, you know, like a 105. So what do? I go back outside and I start fighting level one creatures again to get the 200 up. So I walk back in and the guy was like, okay, hey, what do you want? So I'm like, I want the secrets. I have enough. I don't know what it is, but I'll take it. And he's like, oh, no, I can't sell you that. Get out of here. And he kicks me out of the shop. So I'm like, well, that was effing weird. So I'm walking around town and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back in there and talk to him again. So I walk back in and I'm like, dude, I want your secrets. And he's like, I told you once already. I just leave, get out. And he kicks me out of the shop again. So I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do? So I'm walking around, I'm dying, I'm getting frustrated, and I'm not the guy that, like, the second something comes up, I'm going to pull out a walkthrough. I'm not going to do it. Yep. I did it. How do you get the road pass? You go to the guy who's selling secrets. You don't talk to him once. You don't talk to him twice. You talk to him 3 times, and then he'll sell you the road pass. That is...
Really?
That is terrible storytelling. Nobody told me where the road pass was. Nobody told me that I had to talk to the guy 3 times before he'd give it to me. It was god awful. I couldn't believe
That's just annoying game design.
Exactly.
Well, I hate to play devil's advocate, but I will say that any true hardcore RPG fan knows that whenever you speak to a non-player character and their script changes, you should keep talking to them until it repeats.
No. No, that's not how you story tell. That's not how it works. If that's how it works, then somebody else in town needs to tell me, this guy's got something over there you might want.
Now that's fair. Yes.
And bug him.
That's confusing. I can understand that, how there's no sign that he would be the guy who gives you that.
So that was just the half of it. So I got the road pass. I go to some little launch pad in a shuttle, a takeoff, I land on a different planet or something. I have no idea where the hell I am. It's like in Star Wars, I went from the forest event, the moon of Endor, where it's all foresty, and now I'm on the, you know, Tatooine, it's all desert. Like, it's just every planet just has a different environment. You know, it's not a mixture. It's like, okay, it's either, you know, nice and green, or it's, you know, brown and desert. Anyway. Yep. So I'm walking around town. They're like, oh, if you're going to go outside of town, you need like a doom buggy kind of a thing, or you won't survive. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me see if I can find one of those. Yeah, I couldn't find one. So I bring the walkthrough up again. And guess what? Even though the guy, and the second you walk in, says you need a doom buggy before you go outside the palace walls, I still have to go outside of the palace walls without the doom buggy. How was I supposed to know that? This guy came up to me and told me.
This sounds horrible.
This is
that
a bad idea.
Yep.
It was, so I gave up. I stopped playing it. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I might come back. I probably won't. I decided just to play something that I played in the past, and I went through, what's it called? Illusion of Gaia, or Illusions of Gaia for the Super NES. That game's fun. That's a really good story. Lion. It's good storytelling. It's good game design, good game development. I'm happy with that one.
And without characters that blatantly lie to your face.
Ah, it just doesn't. It's like, it's, I don't know what, I could keep, like I was saying, a buddy of mine was telling me about an RPG that he played online. It was like an independent game. And he said the same kind of thing happened to him. He goes up to the king. The king tells him, I want you to go to the west. There's a town out there. You got to slay this dragon. So he's like, hell yeah. So he's suiting up. He's getting the big swords and stuff. As he's walking through town, there's a street rat. No kidding. A bum on the street that says, hey, probably not the best of ideas to go west. Now, who are you going to believe? The king who's taken care of you and given you orders and telling you what to do? Or some bum on the street?
Oh, bum.
Apparently, that's what you do. You listen to the bum. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Classic Absolutely. Video game logic there.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Bailey, have you been playing anything?
Nothing that has inspired such emotion, I'm afraid. That was... Yeah, I've just been playing some old school sports games on the NES.
Nice.
Yeah, like Blades of Steel. Blades of Steel. If you guys are familiar with that one, it's a really
that's a
fun
really
one.
Good.
I'm going to try and put a Let's Play video up of the game I had, because I fared a lot better than my ice hockey experience. And also, I'm a big fan of RBI baseball. I am actually hoping to someday have the world record in that game. So it's a little intense because I've gotten close, but it's frustrating to get that close but not succeed. So every once in a while I go back and practice and we'll see how that goes.
What's the record? Most runs or?
Yeah, 60 yep. run win?
26 runs, I believe.
Oh, are you looking at the Twin Galaxy? Is that what you're looking into?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, that was RBI Baseball 3.
Yeah, completely different game. But yeah, 26 runs. Even on the first inning, I can win by 15. So you'd think given a few innings when the opposing pitcher gets tired and they're slow and they're throwing really softly, it'd be easier to score all these runs. But I haven't done it yet. I've gotten to 22 and 23, but only takes 3 outs.
That's a good point.
But I'm optimistic. I think someday I'll get it. That'll be nice. But that's what I've been playing lately is 8-bit sports games.
Falcon Punch!
You guys ready for the discussion question?
Ready.
Yes.
We brought this up last week, so now to take a few minutes to elaborate. How important is music in gaming, especially in retro gaming? What do you guys think? Is it important at all?
Go ahead, Jason.
All right. I think it's...
Just say it.
It's something that's become more important. Okay, let's set a cutoff date. 2000, okay. A cutoff date. Okay. If you're looking back at, say, I don't know, Asteroids or Pac-Man, mm-hmm. I'm going to argue that music isn't that fundamentally important. Mm-hmm. But if you progress on to, say, kind of Super Nintendo era, N64, PlayStation 1, it becomes so important to the storytelling. Do you guys know what Elite Motif is?
I'm familiar with Elite the game. Would Motif be related to that?
No. It's
no, not at all. Of course not.
Elite Motif is a musical term referring to a recurring theme. An example would be, let's say you have a villain in a game, and the game opens up with this villain destroying, let's say, a city or your character's family, and you'll mm-hmm. originally have this music playing in the background while the villain does this. Throughout the duration of the game, you're going to run into this music playing again, and what it does in the player's mind, subconsciously, it triggers memories of this horrible event, and it lets them re-experience those emotions without actually having to show anything on screen.
All right, so, I hear that.
That works really well with storytelling.
And especially to establish mood and to enhance what's going on screen. I think it would be bad if the developer did it poorly, if they set up this really serious tone and went to the trouble of setting up themes per character and then all of a sudden just broke that. And one scene, the villain comes in and it's really bubbly music and
exactly.
Some party rock and stuff going on. That would be really disorienting and kind of really take you out of the experience.
I will agree with that. But Jason, I'm going to disagree with you about the importance of Atari and the music in the NES. The big reason to me is it inspired an entire genre. I mean, we have people who dedicate themselves to recreating music on hardware that's, gosh, now 30 years old, maybe?
Yep.
I mean, granted, not even that, you know. Then we have bands like the Mini Bosses, who have gotten themselves to the point in terms of their ability to play an instrument like the guitar. It's the music's not complicated enough to show their ability. And I think having something of that older style 8-bit, 16-bit music has really brought them to the forefront, because music nowadays, it's symphonies or it's licensed tracks from bands who already exist. And I think by going away from that, by relying on the hardware to create the music, I think just gaming in general has kind of faltered.
Huh. Interesting take. I speak as someone who, I'm not a music junkie. I'm not someone who really looks for the audio component of a game. I don't get into it as much as some people. I'm not as knowledgeable about it. I think it can definitely enhance a game. I think it can also be annoying. But the thing about music, unlike visuals or gameplay mechanics, is if it's bad, you can just turn it off. And there are some games that I can enjoy perfectly well muted. But if music is done well, I think it does a great job of making the experience more immersive and adding to that escapist feel of the game, which is the point of why many of us play video games, is for that escapism.
See, I think that goes hand in hand. I don't think you can say that if the music is good, it helps bring the game more together and more of a tighter package and involves the player more. I think it's the same as if the music is bad. You know, it's like when you're watching a movie. It's like no amount of special effects and money thrown at it can really decide if the story is good or not. I think music in video games, especially retro games. Let's take a vote. Who has OSTs downloaded of video games?
I actually have one.
Yeah, I've got a bunch.
Okay. Now, what's that number compared to the amount of tracks for next gen? Mine's zero.
Sadly, mine are all current gen.
Really?
Yeah, I was about to say, the one I do have is Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
Man, because I've got Bad Dudes on my phone, and I got Star Fox and Contra, Mega Man, that stuff. I'll be walking around work, you know, with nothing to do. And always the song that pops into my head is either the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Overworld music or Cut Man. Nice. That music sticks with me.
I do have a lot of the remixes from ocremix.org. I do have a lot of old school tracks from there that I really like.
That counts.
Okay.
Just to make my point even more valid, that counts.
There you go. I got your back. I guess for me, I would say music is important because it certainly contributes value to the game. But I cannot bring myself to say it would be more important than, say, the controls or...
If you were playing a game and the music sounded similar to, say, a game that's iconic for its music, like Metroid, would you think, oh, wow, that sounds like Metroid? Has that ever happened?
It has happened, but it's less likely. Music has many more variations of recognizable themes, whereas you can only do control schemes in so many ways, in my opinion.
But you'll know right away if, you know, you're playing a game that's a platformer like Mario and the buttons are switched. I think that's just as important as recognizing music that sounds similar.
Well, good for you.
Well, then,
I have to agree.
You know what? It is what it is.
And what are you going to do? All right, guys, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
right, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the mellow guitar tunes of A Flower Blooming in the Slums by The World is Square. There's a download link in the show notes on the site. But now it's time for the main event, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where each of us three co-hosts will take 2 minutes to introduce the game we've picked for this episode and form an argument as to why it is the superior game. And once our 2 minutes is over, we'll have a free-for-all and just argue with each other about it. And the fun part for you, listener, is that you will get to vote for which game is your favorite or which one you are convinced of its superiority right on the site in a poll. And remember, it's an election year. Your vote is super important. So Jason, as always, is our official timekeeper. And when he cues me, I will introduce my game.
Are you ready?
I think I'm ready. Yeah.
You may go.
The game I have picked tonight is one that I have chosen for the reason of both its gameplay quality and its nostalgic value for me. And that game is You Don't Know Jack, a PC game released in 1995, although many variants were released thereafter, including some for consoles and even portable systems as well, along with a social version on Facebook. But the original one is the one I'm most familiar with and would probably be my favorite. You Don't Know Jack is a multiplayer party game in a quiz format with an attitude. Although you're competing either by yourself or with a couple friends or with one other person to make it head-to-head and extra personal, if you do badly, the game makes fun of you. And even though the questions may range from pop culture to science topics, you are never safe from this game's barbs and witticisms. I enjoyed it with my family. Actually, it's going to sound funny, but my grandmother had it, and so I would play it with her. And let's face it, guys, there's nothing like engaging in some healthy smack talk with your grandmother. There are several portions to the game and different formats the questions can take, including some that engage in wordplay, like you might read some things on the screen that sound a little off and you have to figure out what it's supposed to mean, or you have to fit something to a category, or hear something like a vocal cue. But the part at the end, the Jack attack, is where the game really comes together, where there's a category and items will pop up on screen. And if one of them comes up
that
correctly fits the category, you buzz in and get the point. But if you buzz in incorrectly, you get a point taken away, or money in this case. So it always comes down to
time,
a tight, enjoyable game.
I think that's the first time anybody ever won.
I think it is.
Ha!
All right. Are you ready, Hunter?
Yes.
Go.
My pick for this week's Retro Showdown is Trog. That's with an exclamation point. Released in 1991 for the NES. Ported to the arcade by Acclaim, the player assumes the role of Bloop or Spike, which are small T-Rex dinosaurs, and the land of Og, also with an exclamation point. Home of the one-eyed caveman known as the Trog. There's no exclamation point. Gameplay consists of the player collecting colored eggs that are lying around the map as a one-eyed caveman wander around trying to eat you. Now, I know what you're thinking. Just another Pac-Man clone. But oh, my friend, how far from the truth you are. In Trog, with an exclamation point, the player has the ability to attack in the form of a punch, which does not require a power-up. Something neither Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, or Pac-Man Jr. could ever do. Now, there are power-ups that spawn throughout the game, including a player's speed increase, one-ups, and pineapples. Now, for those who don't know about the superhero-esque properties of pineapples in Trog, they will allow the player to grow to a full-size T-Rex with the ability to eat the caveman. Again, something that Pac-Man couldn't do, which, again, shows the differences between the two. Now, as the levels progress, the maps do get more difficult. The Trog also become more intelligent and invent new ways to capture the dinosaurs, creating fire pits, and the wheel will burn and flatten the player, respectively. The game also consists of a two-player multiplayer mode, which pits them together for the highest score. So obviously with the fast-paced colored egg collecting action with a friend, it's an easy choice to vote for Trog with the exclamation point for this week's best game in the Retro Showdown.
The game I chose this week was Chex Quest. Chex Quest was originally released as a pack-in with the cereal Chex. In the game, you take control of the Chex Warrior as you fight to eradicate the tyrannical Phlemoids who are keen on invading your planet. Created by a small team of former Doom modders, the game is a total conversion of the first five levels of Ultimate Doom. It was released in 5.7 million boxes of Chex brand cereal, which puts its total sales over those of Zelda: A Link to the Past. The game is noted for its non-violent nature, as instead of killing the Phlemoids, you actually teleport them. And unlike Doom, where your avatar's face slowly gets covered in blood, in this game, it slowly gets covered in slime until you cannot move. Overall, Chex Quest is a game that pretty much every person back in 1996 who ate breakfast cereal should have played. Chex Quest.
Shaq Fu!
No, Shaq Fu. Clearly not one of the games tonight. And we're not going to talk about it anymore.
We're not.
Shaq Fu?
I will kick you off the podcast if you say Shaq Fu one more time.
Ouch!
Fact I'm not bitter or anything, you know. All right. Fine, you guys want to talk about Shaq Fu all night? Fine. I will sit back.
It's not.
You two can have your little Shaq Fu party.
Let's talk about Chex Quest.
Chex Quest.
Now, I want to do some fact-checking here, Jason. Can you fact-check something for me?
Sure. It's a Zelda claim, isn't it?
It is. Can you read it back to me?
Jason, quick question. Yeah. Did you know that I am a fan of Nintendo?
I did.
Okay. Your tactic of saying that your game outsold a Legend of Zelda game, not putting you in a good place with me right now.
Well, what's the number? What's the number again? Read the line again.
It was released in 5.7 million boxes of Chex brand cereals over a six-week period.
Okay, so it was released. It doesn't mean that it was bought.
No, it was bought.
Was it?
They saw a 295% volume share increase over the previous year.
For a crappy ripoff of Doom?
It was promoted using television commercials, magazine advertisement, and a Chex Quest website. They even set up a dedicated helpline that one could call for Chex Quest-related issues.
You know what box Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past was sold in? Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past?
My game came with cereal.
I'd rather buy a video game. Thank you very much. And if I had to pick between the boxes of Chex and Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past, I'm going to pick the Zelda box every time.
Do they even make Chex anymore? Did this put them out of business, or...?
No, it brought them back in the limelight. They've actually made two sequels since. Chex Quest 2 and Chex Quest 3.
If by limelight you mean lame light.
It was pretty good, Bailey.
That was pretty good.
I'm here all night.
So it's the first five levels of Doom, Ultimate Doom.
Yes. So basically you've taken Doom, created a special edition, and made that special edition even better.
No, it's not a special edition. It's a mod. I've played it. They just put new graphics on it. Jason, you didn't even pick a game. You picked a mod of an existing game, a reskin.
Hold on.
You picked a mask.
You can't discount mods.
Why not?
What? Sure I can.
Counter-Strike?
Okay.
Counter-Strike's a mod. Half-Life is just a mod of the Quake engine. They literally took the Quake engine.
There's a difference between using the same engine to make a game and taking a game and just changing the graphics.
Now, hold on. Now, Jason, now by that logic, that would mean that the Bible Adventures for the Super NES is also a video game. Look it up.
I'm looking it up. SNES or NES?
SNES.
Oh, I just found the NES one. Hold on.
Well,
yeah, the only one on SNES was the Noah's Ark game.
That's what it was, yeah, the Noah's Ark, sorry.
Super Noah's
Ark. They're all the
Which
same.
Was just Wolfenstein, right?
Exactly! That's exactly what it was. It was Wolfenstein that was reskinned, it was modded, it wasn't a game. The game was Wolfenstein.
Ah, but see, this has a custom 3D intro, custom loading, custom sounds, custom music.
Noah's Ark or Chex Quest?
I think they're one and the same. I think they're one and the same.
As in this game is godlike?
Hey, you guys want to hear a quick fun fact?
Sure.
Did you know that one of the most overused tropes on the NES was the use of cavemen?
I did know that.
It's there are such so a great many character. Freaking caveman games on the NES that there actually is a game called Caveman Games.
Yes.
So many caveman games.
It's a good one. Have you played it?
Too many caveman games.
Well, the caveman in caveman games, you were the protagonist as the caveman. And Trog, you don't play as the Trog. You play as a T-Rex.
But it's still, it's a prehistoric, it's a caveman game.
You could argue that's, I'm going to go against this. You could argue that there's way too many trivia games released.
Oh, so into that point, if you're going to buy into a game, which is basically the same rehashed game, man, this is just as bad as Chex Quest. You're just taking the same idea and you just keep throwing money at it. And sooner or later, that pile is just going to get bigger and bigger. And that's when you get ports to the 360, the PlayStation 3, the Nintendo DS, the Wii. It's like a board game. I've got like six versions of Clue on six different consoles. That's not a game.
I think we can all agree that genres have many examples for them, that engines get used over and over, and everything is a remix. If you guys want to get more specific with gameplay flaws and get into the individual games we picked tonight, I'm all for it. I believe, Hunter, you made a claim, and I'm going to quote you on this. I'm going to try that the pineapple is a power-up that once you eat it, you can then eat enemies, which, quote, Pac-Man couldn't do, unquote.
Correct.
If I recall correctly, one of the biggest portions of the gameplay of Pac-Man is the fact that you can eat a power pellet and then eat your enemies, the ghosts.
But the enemies don't die because they're already dead. And even when you do eat them, you see the eyeballs running back to the center of the board. And Trog, you actually eat them. They're gone. They don't come back.
Are there
back.
Enemies on the next level?
Well, yeah. The Trog are of many.
So it's not permanent.
For that one particular Trog, absolutely. It's not like Blinky's going to keep coming back after you eat him. Well, like, pff,
maybe
Pac-Man.
It is. Maybe it's the same caveman.
Well, that's racist. You're profiling.
Your mother's racist.
And she also profiles.
I guess that makes it okay.
So, Chex Quest. So,
Chex Quest.
They...
fully 3D rendered intro.
Yeah, but you don't play an intro. That's got nothing to do with the game. The meat and the potatoes of the game is Doom.
I agree with Hunter here. If you're really going to harp on the intro, you must have a weak case.
I don't have a weak case. It's Jack's Quest.
You don't have any case. It's not even a game.
Oh, yeah, and you don't know Jack is? It doesn't even have video game in anywhere on the box or in the description. They constantly just call it a party game or a quiz game. There's no video game.
Sure there is. It's interactive digital entertainment, just like any video game. There's lots of video games that don't say they're a video game on the box. Doesn't mean they're not a video game.
I disagree. There's a lot of Sega Master Systems that told you how big the video game was. I mean,
looking at the box art for Trog right now. Guess what it doesn't say.
Flip it on the back.
Well...
to be used in your Nintendo Entertainment System video game console.
Jason, you're a PC gamer, right?
Yeah.
Is it pretty typical for the CD-ROM to say, for use in your PC?
It is.
Thank you.
It's like Corn Chex. It says, free CD-ROM game inside. It does say game, though.
Now, okay, so Bailey, you say that, but you just proved my point. If the possibility of it saying to be used for your video game console... for my game, or for your PC and Jason's game, yours doesn't say that. It just says party game.
I think if your focus here is going to be on the wording used to describe this video game...
I want you to... Yeah, that's the problem. It's not a video game.
I'll concede that. That can be your big victory against You Don't Know Jack, is that it doesn't say the word video game on the container.
So I win. I was the only one that picked a video game. We got Jason who picked a mod of a video game, and you picked a show game. Oh,
mine
I win.
Is a video
I win.
Game.
Game over. No, thanks a lot, guys. It was great. Thanks a lot. Woo, man, that was a tough one.
No, mine is a video game. I'm just saying you're just harping on a wording thing. It's a semantics issue.
No, it's
but
not.
Playing it, it's undeniably a video game.
No, because that's the same thing as saying that Jason's game is a game.
No, mine is not a mere mod. Mine's completely original.
Yeah, an original board game.
Not a board game. Quiz game. At least it's not a caveman game. Just saying.
A caveman game which seems to be a combination of Pac-Man and Bomberman done really poorly.
No, it's way better. Come on, you can eat the enemies.
Hey, Jason, remember that week that Hunter made fun of Dodgem by comparing it to Pac-Man so heavily?
Yes, I do.
Holy crap, have you seen the gameplay of Trog? Because yeah. I'm familiar with Trog, and it's basically an 8-bit version of Pac-Man.
I almost brought that up. I'm like, are we doing recurring Pac-Man ripoffs? Is that
no? It's not a ripoff. It's a homage.
Oh, so you could claim that mine is a homage to Doom.
I know,
Hunter. You're a hypocrite.
What?
I'm with Bailey on this.
What was that word too big for you?
I only had 1 week to prepare.
I would like to mention, not only did you get a free box of cereal with Chex Quest, you also got 50 free hours of internet and a link to download Chex Quest 2.
Oh, AOL internet? Because I don't call that internet.
Whoa. Yeah, thanks. It was 1996.
Oh, that's so 50 free hours of internet. Holy crap.
That's a lot of internet.
Wow. Yeah.
Back in those days.
Oh, that'd be really nice, you know, because I'm paying $20 a month now for my browser, you know.
Well, yeah. Did they raise the price of the cereal when the game was included, or was the game free? Because when the way you said it was that you bought the game and you got the cereal for free.
You do.
Oh, that's true. You said that totally wrong. It didn't come with free cereal. You bought the cereal and it came.
The game was free. You never bought the game.
Yeah, it's a free game if it's a game at all.
That's like saying.
So that number about how many was sold is it's bogus. No, it doesn't matter.
How many copies of Mario sold as a pack-in?
As a pack-in?
What?
Do you discount that?
Yeah.
Are you saying, like, with the console?
Yeah.
Typically, yeah, those figures are separate.
Let's find out.
Saying here for the Wii, its best-selling video game is Wii Sports, which was a pack-in.
Do you not believe there were Mario games that weren't pack-ins?
Oh, no, I'm not claiming that, but Super Mario Bros. For the NES, 40.24 million pack-in.
Yeah, but you can buy the game separate.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You can get Chex Quest separate.
Where? I'm not going to pirate. I'm not a pirate, Jason.
You could get it for. You could get it off the website.
What website? This magical Pirate Bay website?
ChexQuest.com.
Wait, they're giving it away?
You're really advocating a giveaway game?
Yeah, nobody's ever paid for this game. You can buy Super Mario Brothers. That was a pack-in separate. You can buy Wii Sports separate rather than the pack-in. You can't buy this anywhere.
I guess a giveaway game is a step up from Shaq Fu, where people actually were paying to destroy it. So Jason's moving up in the world of game selection.
I thought we weren't bringing Shaq Fu back up. We can talk about it again if you want.
I just want to make that one point, and now that we've all said it, I just wanted to be a part of the club, you know? I was feeling left out.
Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu.
It's not even a game, Jason. Bailey, your game's not a game.
Yours is definitely not a game.
It's not?
Yeah.
How is it not a game?
How is it an original game?
No, that wasn't your question. Your question was,
how is mine not a game?
Because yours is a mod. They took a physically already built, programmed game and changed the sprites.
An argument can be made that Trog is just a Pac-Man mod.
It's not,
Pac-Man
though.
Pac-Man mod.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Look at it.
Do you guys even know what the definition of mod is?
I do. I've built some mods.
Now, if you want to say it's a clone, I would say that's kind of a pathetic word. It's a lot better than just a clone, but they didn't take the programming of Pac-Man and port it in to...
I think they did.
No, they didn't.
Okay, here.
Sure they did. Look at it.
The original Resident Evil, that took the programming of another Capcom game. They just imported it and gave it some different art assets.
You're just making stuff up now, Jason.
No, it had tank controls.
Mind
you don't
controls.
Know, Jack.
Tank controls.
It had tank controls.
That's how you describe the controls in Resident Evil. Tank controls.
Hey, yeah? Guys, we're getting awfully negative here. I think we've been influenced too much by the attack ads on television. I'd like to take an opportunity to point out a couple quick positive things about my game. Number one, screws. You have a limited number of screws you can use. If a question comes up and it's really hard, you can screw someone into answering it. Hilarious. And number two, if you're too far ahead and you're a coward and you stop answering questions, it will force you to answer a question. Now, how innovative is that? So cool. Jason, what do you like about your game?
I like Chex Quest because it's a lot of fun. It builds on one of the greatest games ever. And it came with cereal.
Well, my game's the best. Because it's an actual video game. It's not a board game. It's not a mod. Yes, it may be a clone of Pac-Man. It may be the same idea as Pac-Man. But it's a brand new idea. Not a board game. And not a mod.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, it has been a pleasure debating such high-minded concepts as to what constitutes a game, or an original game, for that matter. At this point, though, I'm going to leave it to the listeners. Go ahead and vote on the website for which one you are swayed by. Quick shout-out to Ben Landis, who graciously lets us use his music for the intro and the outro. And once again, the interlude artist in the middle was A Flower Blooming in the Slums, a track by The World is Square. You can download it on the website onemorecastle.com or follow us at twitter.com/onemorecastle. Hunter, you have anything you want to plug tonight?
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Eric Hunter. You can check me out on my website, ericmhunter.net.
Okay, Jason, how about you? Want to plug anything?
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. Other than that, go download Chex Quest.
Because it's free.
It's a giveaway.
Because nobody else wanted a useless mod.
5.7 million people did.
Well, we could probably talk about that all night, but it's been fun, guys. And listeners, tune in next week for another great episode. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.